Part 3. You will hear part of a radio program in which two people, Sally White and Martin Jones, are discussing the popularity of audiobooks, books recorded on tape, and the problems involved with abridging books before taping them. For questions 17 to 24, choose the correct answer A, B, C, or D. You will hear the recording twice. You now have 1 minute to look at part 3.
And today, our subject for discussion is audiobooks. We have two guests in the studio, Martin Jones, who owns an audiobook shop, and Sally White, whose job it is to abridge or shorten books for the audio market. Now, I was amazed to find out just how popular it has become to listen to books on tape. What do you think is the reason for this, Sally?
Well, people are often very short of time. If you commute each day and have to spend, say, an hour in the car, then you can listen to part of a tape and then go on where you left off. And many people like to listen to audiobooks while doing monotonous household chores like ironing or dusting. However, I suspect that it's when people are trying to drop off at the end of a busy day that greatest use is made of them. I suppose it's like being read to as kids.
Yes. And in fact, these audiobooks have also become popular among children. I often listen to them with mine. I suppose the fear here is that children will become lazy. I mean, it's much easier to listen to a story than read it yourself.
Yes, of course it is. But I'm not sure this will necessarily put children off reading. I don't know. But the great thing is that they can listen to books which are far too difficult for them to read. It may mean, of course, that busy parents are tempted to put on a tape rather than take the time to read to their kids. But then I'm sure many would actually prefer to listen to professionals rather than tired mums and dads.
What do you think, Martin?
Well, I'd like to tell you about a lady who came into this shop just last week. And she was telling us about these family driving holidays to France, which used to be a disaster, with the kids in the back making a row, not being able to understand French radio. And she swore she would never take them to France again. Then she discovered audiobooks, and suddenly the journeys there are a joy.
Now, I hear that audiobooks are even more popular in the States.
Yes, it's certainly a huge, huge market in the States, although I don't think audiobooks started there. Maybe it's because there's a tradition here in the UK from radio of spoken words being an acceptable medium, whereas in America, of course, it's a different story. In the main, Americans don't seem to get as much drama or stories on the radio, so they're going out and getting audiobooks. And the principal attraction is that they need something to listen to because of the time they spend on the road. Places are so much farther apart. An audiobook passes the time.
And what are the reasons for sometimes asking the author to do the reading rather than employing a professional?
Oh, it depends. Obviously, the author is the one who's closest to the book, and they may have a particular interpretation of the book that they are anxious to portray. Most authors will have already done public readings of their books anyway, as part of their promotional activities at the time of publication, so they've probably read parts of it already. Otherwise, professional actors are used. We're very lucky in Britain to have such a wealth of actors who can bring the story alive completely.
Now, Sally, your job is to abridge books, especially for the audio market. I suspect a lot of people would say that you shouldn't mess about with what an author has written.
Oh, no, I don't agree. Most of the abridgments these days are really extremely good. Abridgers interpret the story in the way they believe the author has written it. But the point about abridgments is that one's adapting it to create a new version of the story, so it will inevitably be different to the original. Now, obviously, some books are easier to abridge than others.
Yes. I'd imagine a 1,000-page volume by Charles Dickens must be a bit of a nightmare.
Well, what we do is to trim the excess off, so it's more to do with the way they write. Beryl Bainbridge, for instance, writes so beautifully and sparsely that it's harder to cut into her than Charles Dickens with his pages of detailed descriptions. Well, this is probably the case with any kind of book.
We shouldn't forget that many books are not abridged before being taped. I would say that these have now grown to account for about 20% of the audio market. So, yes, some people do prefer to listen to the whole book. We've got Anna Karenina that has just come on the market. It's on 24 tapes, so you can imagine how long it is.
24 tapes? How long is a tape?
Well, each tape is about 90 minutes, and the whole set comes to £90. Though it's a lot of money, we're talking about a lifetime's listening, which is really something, isn't it?
Well, we are nearly out of time. But very briefly then, why not, in that case, why not write things specifically for audio? Something that's never been a written book. You could argue it's a new art form, so why not have new people writing just for audio?
Well, you could, and the BBC commissions specific work for radio all the time. It probably wouldn't succeed because the audio market isn't large enough to finance its own original writing at the moment. Anyway, I don't think people are unhappy about that. It's the old favourites rather than the newer titles that have proved the most popular in audio form.
Well, thank you both very much. And now...
Now you will hear the recording again.
And today, our subject for discussion is audiobooks. We have two guests in the studio, Martin Jones, who owns an audio bookshop, and Sally White, whose job it is to abridge or shorten books for the audio market. Now, I was amazed to find out just how popular it has become to listen to books on tape. What do you think is the reason for this, Sally?
Well, people are often very short of time. If you commute each day and have to spend, say, an hour in the car, then you can listen to part of a tape and then go on where you left off. And many people like to listen to audiobooks while doing monotonous household chores like ironing or dusting. However, I suspect that it's when people are trying to drop off at the end of a busy day that greatest use is made of them. I suppose it's like being read to as kids.
Yes. And in fact, these audiobooks have also become popular among children. I often listen to them with mine. I suppose the fear here is that children will become lazy. I mean, it's much easier to listen to a story than read it yourself.
Yes, of course it is. But I'm not sure this will necessarily put children off reading. I don't know. But the great thing is that they can listen to books which are far too difficult for them to read. It may mean, of course, that busy parents are tempted to put on a tape rather than take the time to read to their kids. But then I'm sure many would actually prefer to listen to professionals rather than tired mums and dads.
What do you think, Martin?
Well, I'd like to tell you about a lady who came into this shop just last week. And she was telling us about these family driving holidays to France, which used to be a disaster, with the kids in the back making a row, not being able to understand French radio. And she swore she would never take them to France again. Then she discovered audiobooks, and suddenly the journeys there are a joy.
Now, I hear that audiobooks are even more popular in the States.
Yes, it's certainly a huge, huge market in the States, although I don't think audiobooks started there. Maybe it's because there's a tradition here in the UK from radio of spoken words being an acceptable medium, whereas in America, of course, it's a different story. In the main, Americans don't seem to get as much drama or stories on the radio, so they're going out and getting audiobooks. And the principal attraction is that they need something to listen to because of the time they spend on the road. Places are so much farther apart. An audiobook passes the time.
And what are the reasons for sometimes asking the author to do the reading rather than employing a professional?
Oh, it depends. Obviously, the author is the one who's closest to the book, and they may have a particular interpretation of the book that they are anxious to portray. Most authors will have already done public readings of their books anyway, as part of their promotional activities at the time of publication, so they've probably read parts of it already. Otherwise, professional actors are used. We're very lucky in Britain to have such a wealth of actors who can bring the story alive completely.
Now, Sally, your job is to abridge books, especially for the audio market. I suspect a lot of people would say that you shouldn't mess about with what an author has written.
Oh, no, I don't agree. Most of the abridgments these days are really extremely good. Abridgers interpret the story in the way they believe the author has written it. But the point about abridgments is that one's adapting it to create a new version of the story, so it will inevitably be different to the original. Now, obviously, some books are easier to abridge than others.
Yes. I'd imagine a 1,000-page volume by Charles Dickens must be a bit of a nightmare.
Well, what we do is to trim the excess off, so it's more to do with the way they write. Beryl Bainbridge, for instance, writes so beautifully and sparsely that it's harder to cut into her than Charles Dickens with his pages of detailed descriptions. Well, this is probably the case with any kind of book.
We shouldn't forget that many books are not abridged before being taped. I would say that these have now grown to account for about 20% of the audio market. So, yes, some people do prefer to listen to the whole book. We've got Anna Karenina that has just come on the market. It's on 24 tapes, so you can imagine how long it is.
24 tapes? How long is a tape?
Well, each tape is about 90 minutes, and the whole set comes to £90. Though it's a lot of money, we're talking about a lifetime's listening, which is really something, isn't it?
Well, we are nearly out of time. But very briefly then, why not, in that case, why not write things specifically for audio? Something that's never been a written book. You could argue it's a new art form, so why not have new people writing just for audio?
Well, you could, and the BBC commissions specific work for radio all the time. It probably wouldn't succeed because the audio market isn't large enough to finance its own original writing at the moment. Anyway, I don't think people are unhappy about that. It's the old favourites rather than the newer titles that have proved the most popular in audio form.
Well, thank you both very much. And now...
That is the end of part 3.